2 Corinthians chapter 11 and the first 4 verses. I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness, but you're already doing that. Of course, when Paul said that to the Corinthians, he was being ironical. He was quoting the super apostles, the false teachers, the men who had come into Corinth and bringing the law to impose it upon the Corinthian believers. And that's how they spoke of Paul. Oh, that foolish man, that insignificant man. Paul says, I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness. But you're already doing that. Of course, he's not foolish at all. He's bringing them down to size. And then he comes to a tremendous statement. And he makes a remarkable, clear, sharp contrast between what he is and what he's doing and what his method is and what his aim is and the ambience and way and work of the law teachers. I should probably call this discourse something like the two systems or simple versus complicated. I don't know. It's that kind of thing. And this is what Paul is doing here. I'll tell you what I'm about, he says. I'll tell you what my business is. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Incidentally, just before I forget, Paul shows his belief in the historical Adam and Eve here. And so do I, of course. But what's he about, this man? I want you to be married to Christ as a pure virgin. I want you to be devoted to Christ with sincere and pure, uncluttered, uncomplicated, unpolluted, untainted devotion, love, and affection. I can hear echoes of Romans 7, 4 to 6 here. The believer has died to the law to be married to Christ and bear fruit to Christ through that marriage. The context is plain here. Read it against the background of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4. The lawmen are here. And Paul says what they do is that they complicate. They lead you away. They interfere. They taint. They corrupt this connection with Jesus Christ. And my work is to bring sinners to Christ, to salvation, and to hold the saints to Christ in pure, simple, sincere, uncomplicated, unpolluted devotion. And here is a very important, massive statement, in my opinion. You see, there is only one gospel. And Paul says to the Corinthians, if someone comes to you, and of course they have come to them, and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Now I break off there. There's more to come. But here are the two systems. Paul says, you know what I preached to you, and you know my aim. Now, what did he preach to them? Well, I've repeated it time without number. He told the Corinthians before, in the first letter and the second, I am determined, he said, to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. That is the apostle's method. He preaches Christ, Christ crucified, Christ is Lord, the gospel. He does not mix it with works, law, sacraments, confessions, church, all those other things that come in, Christendom things, he doesn't mix it at all. He keeps to the simple, plain, direct preaching of Christ crucified, Christ as Lord. And he does that because he wants them devoted to Christ, purely, singly, simply. He wants sinners to come to Christ to be saved. He wants the saints to be married to Christ and to bear fruit for Christ. That's his aim, and that's his purpose. These other men, he says, they come with something else. Oh, they might have Jesus, but it would be a different Jesus. Why? Because they are mixing and with it. Jesus and what? Well, I think in this case it was law. But it can be all these other things as well. Now, I'm not an apostle, so I can't say as bluntly and plainly and with such authority as he did that these men are false and all the rest of it. But I do see that their system is on that side and has this tendency. And there is this corruption of the gospel. I must say that. I can't be mealy-mouthed about it. I'm not saying they're not Christians, but I am saying that their system is another system to the apostles. This is a wider application than law, although what I'm going to say does apply and come into the law, because these men are all of a piece. As soon as they start going to the Old Covenant, there's no end to it. They go to the Old Covenant for their ministry, the clergy. They go to their Old Covenant, the Old Covenant for their church life, their hierarchy, their sacraments. But actually, they go to the pagans for sacraments in the beginning. They go to the Old Covenant for circumcision and make it baptism and all the rest of it. And they go to the Old Covenant for the law. And it complicates the gospel. It confuses. It taints the gospel. It complicates it. Now, how do I mean? Well, let me rattle off a few words that, just on infant baptism, this is just one aspect of it. If you're an infant baptizer, you, at the top of the tree, may understand all these distinctions. But I put it to you that the average member of a Presbyterian church, hearing such things as these, wouldn't have a clue what it's about. And when they see that baby being sprinkled, they really do think that baby is regenerate. Oh no, says the great metaphysicians. Oh no, no, no. They've got to understand what federal holiness is. Do you? They've got to know what presumptive regeneration is. Do you? They've got to distinguish between the elect seed and the church seed. Between the internal and the external and the organic covenant. You got it sorted out? I haven't. It's not my system. I put it to you. In Jesus, there is simplicity, sincerity, and pure and uncluttered devotion to Christ. Nothing comes between Jesus and the believer. Nothing comes between Jesus and the sinner. The law men want to put the law between the sinner and Jesus. Preach the law to the sinner and then bring him to Jesus. They want to put the law between the saint and Jesus. Preach the law to them. That'll make them sanctified. What does Paul say? We are determined to preach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We'd preach Jesus Christ, Christ as Lord. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. It's not gospel and law. It's not gospel and sacraments. It's not gospel and confessions, church, chapel, whatever it might be. Covenant theology. It's not. It's Christ. Christ. By the way, when men start saying Christ and law, it's not long before actually it's law and Christ. My observation of these people is that the law plays a very important part. Look at the Westminster Confession and see how many questions and answers and so on in their catechisms are on the word law. Sacraments figure very highly. The confession plays a bigger part. Yes, I'll say it. The confession plays a bigger part in their lives than the Bible. They read the Bible through the confession. They do. If it's not according to the confession, then it can't be right, and they'll fit the Bible into the confession. Look at the proof texts in the Westminster Confession. Many of them, most of them I would say, have no bearing or little bearing on the thing they're trying to establish. In many cases that's so. No. Here are the two systems. The complicated, the and system, adding to Christ, law, sacraments, whatever it might be. and the simple, plain, clear, uncorrupted, preaching Christ. Paul says, here are the two systems. There's theirs, the complicated and system, the other gospel. And there's what I put to you. You have to decide, Corinthians. And I want you to decide, of course, you know what he wants. I have to decide too. As a preacher, as a writer, what am I going to do? I'm going to preach and write about Christ crucified and Lord. And take the scriptures as they stand and not complicate them. Of course there are difficulties in scripture, I'm not saying that. But I'm not going to impose these templates and constructs upon scripture. And I speak to all of you who are bound in such systems. Come back to the simplicity, the purity of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Take God at his word. Use the systems. Use the confessions, yes, for example. Although I don't agree with sacraments and hierarchy. But use the confessions. But use them after you've understood the scriptures and received the scriptures. Make the confessions bend the scripture, not scripture to the confession. Here's my aim. Here's my hope. Here's my desire for myself, that I might be presented to Christ, he to be my husband, I to be a pure virgin for him, to bear fruit to him, and be devoted to him with pure and sincere devotion to Jesus Christ. That's what I want. That's what I want for myself, for my ministry, for you listening to me now. Everything else is another gospel, is another Jesus, complicated, and it does not produce what the gospel is meant to produce. Holiness of life in the saints, having saved the sinner from all his sins, law, death, condemnation, and hell. I promised you to one husband to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. Don't be deceived by any other system. I don't want you led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ.